This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Tonight is going to be a healing night. How many of you need healing in here? And this isn't just for your body. It could be for your soulish part of you, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And, you know, a lot of people have a lot of emotions that need to be healed. Could be a trauma that you suffered, you know, in your past, either in your childhood or in a relationship or, you know, something where you suffered trauma and you carried it for a long time and it still hurts and, you know, that kind of stuff. The Lord wants to heal you. Amen. Not in the future, but tonight. And you got to have the faith to reach for it and say, yes, I want to be healed. I am going to be healed. And if you have that kind of faith, by the time we get done praying, I believe you'll be healed. That's the kind of faith I have. Amen. And but anyway, that's what he wants to do. So, you know, I don't want to talk too long, but I guess if my mom wants to say something, I'll have her come up and share testimony or something. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Just love each and every one of you. Just like you said, I'm a grandma to all of you. You know, at their church, they're some of them are older than me, but I said I'm still a grandma. Yeah. Yes. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be here. You know, when we left the last time, I kept seeing different faces, you know, in here. And then I said, oh, my, I just wanted to go see those people again, Lord. The Lord made a way. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And since we left Montana, we've been blessed, you know. I said, man, I didn't know this song, but I said, I am blessed among the people, you know. I am blessed among the nation. And then, you know, that's all I know. But I kept singing that, you know. Yeah. And then we experienced the Holy Ghost fire. My, just wonderful. And then even from there in Texas, I got blessed with a van. We all got blessed, you know, everybody. And then I said, I always like to take my whole family on meetings like this. And then they said, well, we'll get you a van. They did before, you know. And they said, what kind of car you want? And I was going to say a 15-seater. And then I said, an 18-wheeler. And then, can you drive a 18-wheeler? I said, I'd be a mosquito driving, you know, if it's an 18-wheeler. But anyway, I got one like that now. You know, it's 15-seater. And on the way from the rabbi, Tim was driving for me, you know. And I thank God for them, too. And they're so close to us. Even Ezekiel said, I like him. I got something for him, too, you know. And then, like, I can't find it, but we'll find it tonight. I can't even find it. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, it's been wonderful since I got saved in 72. And I thought I'd never, I don't even know what save is. Or I don't know what repent is, you know. But like the last time we came, I shared how I got saved was in the hospital. That's where Jesus met me. And before that, I didn't. I don't like this Pentecostal. I call them holy rollers and holy rock and rollers and all of that. I said, I don't even want to join that. They're just plump too crazy people. I said, they're making a lot of noise. I went in, when I was younger, I went in a meeting and some were on the floor crying. And man, it was a mess. I said, I don't even have nothing to do with that. And I said, I'm a Catholic. And so I said, no matter what, I'll be a Catholic until, you know, I'll die a Catholic. And then I was born and raised a Catholic. all my my grandparents raised me, and they were strong Catholics, they said, but I don't know how strong they were, you know. We don't know what strong Catholic is. Anyway, but when I was in that car wreck, all the religion, every kind of religion, my grandfather always says, there's no hell fire for Indians. I believe that. He said, we have happy hunting grounds, and when we die, we go to the happy hunting grounds, you know, for Indians. And then the Catholic Church said, well, when you die in your sins, you go to purgatory, and then the saints will pray you into heaven. And, you know, those two, I really believed it. And then, but when I was dying, when I left my body, my heart stopped, and my lungs collapsed first, and then my heart stopped, and I just left my body. And when that happened, I said, man, it was either the place of torment or with Jesus, you know, just those two. There's no other way, you know. And I said, then all the religion, what I believe, just wasn't even true. But Jesus came and introduced himself to me, and I accept him. And ever since then, you know, well, I got a long testimony. If I try to share that, I'll probably be here all week. Anyway, so I wasn't saved in a church. I was saved in the hospital. Then I said, God, I don't want people to know that. Just you and me, I said, whatever I do, I said, I'm not going to those Pentecostal things or whatever, you know. Man, but the Lord started to pull me that way, you know, and I could, like I was saving, honey, give me some water there. I went through the Hard Knock School. Anyway, and like after that, my mother was really on fire from that time. She just total surrender to the Lord because she thought, well, they told her we were dying, my two brothers, me, and my sister-in-law. All four of us were going to die, and she just surrendered right there in the hospital. And ever since then, you know, she never compromises, or, you know, she just, and she don't really understand, you know, good English, but she can read. So she was always into her Bible. She was always reading, and then she was always preaching to us. And after I got home, well, and anyway, then two other ministers came, and they were really strong too. And then they said, you better watch it who you're fellowshipping with. He said, examine them first before you know, don't get into. And man, everybody's getting after me. But they were teaching me. I didn't know at the time. I was going to run away from them, but I couldn't. And then from that time on, then I could go in the hospitals and have people repent, even if they're on their deathbed or if they're in coma. And I understand, you know, that's one of my ministry, that I could go in the hospitals and when people, they said they're dying and they're unconscious, I can have them repent. And I knew that they do, you know, repent. And so I know what went on in the hospital. I was in there for quite a while. So there's demons all over the place. There's angels. But demons were really bad because the people are weak, you know. And they just kept attacking them. And so that's part of my ministry. And then it was Brother Jay that came to Pryor, our area, on the Crow Reservation, my area. And then he said, just get out there. And then he said, do something for the Lord. Sing. And I said, man, I try to sing. It's worse. I said, when I was out in the world, I know I could sing, but not now. I said, I can't sing. And then he said, well, I don't care. He said, if you song like a bullfrog, just get out there and sing, and it'll turn into a metal lark, he said, pretty soon, you know. And then he kind of pushed me. And then he said, do this, do this. And then, man, before I knew it, I was already, you know, in the ministry. And he said, you got to total surrender your life and keep examining yourself and get into the Word. And so I did. I was just studying, and even until about 3 o'clock in the morning, be still studying. And then I go to work, and I don't get tired. You know, I don't even get tired. And then when Brother Carpenter was living in Lodgegrass, that was our home church, about 80 miles. And then he was getting sick, and we knew he was leaving us. And then I said, God, if he leave us, then what are we going to do? What ministry are we going to sit under? Because the other ones live such a loose life, and, you know, like they don't want to, they're stuck, like you guys were talking about last night. Or anyway, so I said, I need to, we need to find a good teaching, you know, in the kingdom of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. I said, we need a good teaching, Lord, help us. And that time, that day, my daughter that went home to be with the Lord was Honey's sister. Her name is B, Honey and B. anyway, and then she was moving to the college. We moved her, and then from there, we were going to church. And then I stopped. I said, I got to get gas. And my mother was sitting in the front praying. You know, she's always praying. So she was praying, and she's hard of hearing. And so I went in to pay for the... I seen a man walking towards our car, and he had a briefcase, and he was coming. And so I went in to pay for the gas, and then here it took a long time. Then I heard sirens all around us, and pretty soon the police, the ambulance, and everybody was right by our car. So I walked out, and that person just dropped dead right by our car. You know, I don't know what happened, but he was dead when I came back. I said, what happened? And they said, this guy is, you know, he expired. So they covered him up. Just before they covered him up, I said, could I see him? And then they said, do you know him? And I said, I don't know. And then they moved the cover, and I kind of went like this. I said, God, you promise. All I said was, God, you promise. And then, like Roy said, he started blinking, you know. And then the policemen were all looking at us. And then all of a sudden, my mom got off the car. And then she started to speak in tongues and command the death spirit to leave. And, man, we were just praying hard. And then they got him and put him, they were going to put him in the ambulance. And he grabbed my hand, and he said, keep praying for me. And then they took him. And then the police came over, and they said, where's your credentials to do this? Or what were you guys doing, you know? He said, we have to take you to jail. And I said, no. I said, we got to get to church. And then they said, oh, so you're Christians. I said, yes, we could give you our names. But I said, we're leaving. So I got in the car and peeled out there. They were looking at me. And so, you know, that happened. You know, I believe it, you know, when it happened twice. And the second time, even some Christians run away from us. It was in the store, too. And I said, let's all get together and pray for this person. And those two other ones just took off. And my mother and me, we started to pray for him. And foam was coming out, you know. And they said, no, he started to breathe again. So they put oxygen on him, and they took him away. And I said, my God, wherever we turn, we have to start, you know, resurrecting people here. So I've been having fun ever since I turned a Christian. A lot of Christians said Christianity is boring, and there's trials after trials, and just waves coming in and trying to defeat us. And I go through trials, you know, but then I have a lot of fun. Like the other night there in at the rabbi, and then I was just there laughing, and then, man, the water was electricity. I thought, I wonder if it's just what do you call it? headphones or a microphone. I wonder if that's it, because I could feel electricity, you know. And then what if he gets electrocuted? And then, but man, I was just floating in there. And then he came and he said, "Now start praying for people. You know, just ask the Lord to put fire on them." So I did. I did. And then one of them just fell over. And then I started, you know, to get help him out. And then I was telling him, her, I said, "Hey, I think I baptized Jim. I mean, what do you call it, that Beck? Glenn Beck." And I said, "It might be him, the pastor here." Tim. "Yeah, I think I baptized that Glenn Beck." It looked just like him. And then he said, "No, it might be the Pastor Tim here." But praise God, you know, it's been wonderful, you know, traveling over here. And it just, I feel like we're home, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel we're really far away from home. Yeah, just like we're welcome here. And I just love each and every one of you people. Praise God. Hallelujah. I always say, because there's only one of you. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I just love these two, because the rest, you know, I don't know the names, but like I said, oh, they're just our people. Right. Yeah. And then in the Crow Reservation, you know, the main office, what do you call it? The Crow Reservation, the name of it in the Crow tribe is Bahawa Asha, you know, Bahawa Asha. That means the house of bread. And then in Israel, you know, Jesus is the house of bread. Then I was looking at it and I said, oh man, then the way we talk, in the Crow language, like Havi, you know, like that. They talk like that too, you know. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thought I was going to sing a song, but then I'll just give it to Honey here. Roy. Praise God. I just appreciate, you know, my kids here. I really appreciate them. When they got married, I said, I didn't lose a daughter, I gained a son. Yeah. And then praise God, that time Brother Jay officiated their wedding. And then from Browning we went into Billings, and then I told Brother Jay, I said, "Get in," and he got in the car and I said, "We gotta fit your suit." And man, I took off. My mom was sitting in the back. And she said, in Crow, you know, in the Crow language, she said, "Take me to the funeral home," because one of her niece died. And then so I stopped at the funeral home, and Brother Jay was really looking at me, because I told him we were going to fit his suit, you know. And he was just looking at me, and then here they went by us with those little suits, you know, the half suits. Yeah. And then he said, "Don't do this to me." And I said, "No, wait a minute. We didn't explain." I said, "She wanted to get off." but I'm taking you to a treasure state for that. And then, oh, he said, "You scared me." He said, "Don't ever tell this, you know." But I did several times. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Roy.
Well, I can't follow that or top that. I feel the presence of His Spirit here tonight in a special way. And continue to reach out to the young people. You know, continue to reach out to them, because I do the same. There's no human being that's different to me. If they're old, if they're young, I reach out to them. And I talk to them. I minister to them. Little kids come to me, and I talk to them. And I, you know, a lot of times we put them aside and all. But you know something? The church that's coming, the Lord is bringing into effect worldwide is going to be soon and very soon. I believe that there's going to be a great, great ingathering of young people that's going to flood the church world. Amen. And we're going to come in. And some of them are going to be different. You know, some of them is going to be all scarred up with tattoos. and they've got all kinds of things hanging out of their face and lips and earrings, you know, all of that. And what I tell the people is this, that we have got to look at them and bring them into the church and, you know, help them and not change them to be like us. Huh? Dress like me, cut your hair like me, you know, nothing like that. Allow them to be themselves because the Lord looked at them and the Lord saved them just as they were, praise God. And if they're full of earrings and other stuff in their lips and whatnot, then don't worry about it. Praise God, because you didn't save them, huh? But the Lord saved them, amen. And then we got to learn to work with them, praise God, and bring them into the place where they will be conformed to the image of God's Son and not the image of Roy Wooftail or Tim. Amen. So that's how we have to look at what the Lord is bringing in. But, you know, as the Lord brings the young people in, I saw this in the past. Some churches had a great ingathering of young people. And there was a separation of the young people's group and then the older saints that was in the church. And they didn't mingle. And they didn't, you know, they kind of separated one from another. And then there was, they didn't come together. But the church that is coming together is going to be young and old. Because, you know, the wisdom of the elders are going to be imparted to the young. And the strength and the vitality of the younger ones is going to be imparted to us. Amen. And we're working together. We're going to see something flow that we have never seen before. Praise the Lord. And the Lord was showing this to me, and I thought one day, man, when this happens, how are the older Christians going to react? Huh? Somebody come and sit by you that's so different. See, in the time when the, what do you call that, Jesus movement, Jesus people, when they came in long hair, they came in with their beards and all of this, and, you know, some of them were still flower children, and they still dressed and, you know, psychedelic, all of this, and they came to the church, but the church would not receive them. They came in, you know, full of the love of God and all. So they start separating and having coffee houses and going into cities and winning others. When the normal church, you might say, they would come in and try to worship with us, but we would look at them and, you know, that's not right because they're not like us. Don't think that way. Get that stinking thinking out of us as Christians. Praise the Lord. Because like I said, the Lord saved them. He looked at the heart. He didn't look on the outward. Praise God. Some of us, I don't know how you got saved or what you were like, but the Lord didn't look at that. He looked at what was in you, and he brought you to the place where he saved you. Amen. So there's going to be people that might come in here off the streets. They might not smell right. They might not be dressed as, you know, you think they should be dressed, but open your arms to them and love them. Praise God. And you're going to see a change. But this is what the Lord was showing me, that the young and the old are going to come together and we're going to be a melting pot together to where we're going to benefit from one another. Praise the Lord. And I want to ask a question before I forget. How many of you, this is a crazy question. How many of you know about The Voice on TV? Okay, there's, you know, I'm a voice watcher and so is Honey. And we watched it. Okay, this last, what is it, the 21st of this month? Okay, this past when they had the starting and all, the four judges turned their backs to the, you know, contestants. And then the contestants come out and sing, and they listen. And then they hear, you know, what they want to hear and all of that. And if they think there's any potential in them that will bring them into a further career, then they'll turn around. And you know, well, you know what, you all know what I'm saying. Well, anyhow, this young man just came out, and they were there listening, and then almost immediately, three of them turned around. And then the lady, the only lady that's there, I don't know what her name is, she turned around, and when she saw this guy standing up there, and it was a guy, she looked at him, and she almost fell back on her chair, threw up her leg like that, and then, you know, was so surprised that it was a guy because he had such a beautiful voice and the song that he sang. Okay, then finally Adam turned around because I watched, you know, on this thing. Because, you know, people were putting it on Facebook. Okay, this young man that, Jordan Smith, that was singing was at our church. what, 2-3 years ago? 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever. And he was at the church, and he was doing the music worship with a group of people that came from Kentucky and Ohio. And boy, he rocked the place. He made a lot of people dance, including, you know, and I was I was dancing there too. But you know, he was so good, praise the Lord. The anointing was so upon him, amen. And Rabbi was at the church at the same time. Him and Jay came, just came out of, you know, in the midst of their meeting, they came on business. And they were there that night. They made the opening for them to speak and all. And Rabbi heard this young man ministering in music. And he gave a word to this young brother. I don't remember the word, but I remember he ministered to him and told him that God was going to bring him into greatness, you know, through his ministry and through his music and all of that. Well, prior to that, I talked to the young man, and I said it over before the congregation that God was going to bring him and elevate him into a greatness, you know, also. So that was two witnesses. And when I heard that he was on The Voice, and I listened to him, and I heard listened to him sing, man, I'll tell you, I got goosebumps, and I started to praise the Lord, because you know, this young man is, he witnessed to the people that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that has brought him to the place where he is at today. And I don't know if he's going to be the next Voice big man or whatever would you call it, winner, but yeah, praise the Lord, we're watching him, amen. So, you know, I just wanted to throw that out because we know this young man, and you know, he's a happy person, and he's very outgoing, and his music, the Lord said that he was going to go far with it. So just kind of keep your eye on him, those of you that are Voice viewers, amen, and also pray for him. Because he is a Christian and he's a witness for the Lord. Amen. So God bless you tonight. I want to just read a couple scriptures here and not keep you too long here because I realize that it's a midweek day. But and we come by, we thank you for opening the doors, Pastor Tim. I want to read out of the 8th chapter of Romans, starting with verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that love God, and to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstfruit among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit that is amongst us. And we ask, God, that you would just continue to move in this assembly tonight, to God, and upon each heart and mind, O God, that is assembled here. Pray, O God, that you would meet the core need of every man and woman that is present here tonight. God, if there's deep healing that needs to be taking place, we pray, O God, that Holy Spirit would search the hearts, even as we read tonight, that, Lord God, he knows what's in the deepest part of our being. For your word says that the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. You know, Holy Spirit, all things that is within us, and you illuminate the darkness within us, and you get into every place in our lives, even the hidden areas of our life that we think people don't know about, but you know about. And we thank you, Lord God, tonight that you will just help each one, every one of us, oh God, to come, Lord God, hallelujah, come clean with you. We thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit would minister the deep healing that is needed within each and every one of us. And Lord God, the natural bodies, Lord God, that would need healing tonight. Lord, you've shown us many times in the past that you are able. Lord God, you have brought healing, oh God, hallelujah, to the natural body. And we thank you for that, Lord God. But we thank you tonight, Lord God, for what's going to take place. And we believe, oh God, that, hallelujah, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit. And we stand as servants of God tonight. And Lord God, you said that we would lay hands upon the sick and that they would recover. Lord God, that's a principle in the word, that when we touch them, healing starts, God, in every area of our beings, and we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord. Holy, righteous Father, we give you honor in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So he said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We don't know sometimes how to pray, but the Lord, the Spirit that God gave us, ministers to us. He searches the deep, dark crevices of our being, and he knows everything about every one of us. Amen. I thank God that the Holy Spirit of God brings conviction to us. Amen. Because without the conviction, we would be wild people. They talk about wild Indians. I know every nation, it gets wild. Hallelujah. And once your soul is unredeemed, you're unredeemed, you're wild. Amen. And sin has had a hold on all of us, but thank God the power of sin, the power of death is broken. He says that there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has what? Made us free from the law of sin and death. Amen. The power, hallelujah, of all these things, the darkness, praise God, is stripped from us. And the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon us, causing us to live a righteous life before him. So, and the other night, it was reaffirmed to us that through Rabbi, that we don't have to struggle in our salvation. Many people are struggling. They're wrestling, you know, trying to be right with God when already he has put it within you a gift of righteousness. Huh? Amen. So that we don't have to, you know, try to do good works in order to gain merits with him or whatever. But praise, he said, Rabbi was saying this, he says, you know, like a Boy Scout is always trying to gain so that he could become an Eagle Scout or whatever. But, you know, we don't have to try because the Lord has already finished the work for us. All we have to do is a reasonable service, and that is present our bodies a living sacrifice. Huh? We got to sacrifice some things, amen, put aside the cursing, the hate, the jealousy, the pride, all of these things that still tries to plague us as Christians, the little foxes that cannot be seen. See, many of us, we have laid aside what we is obvious, the big sins. Some of us, we don't drink alcohol to excess to where we get drunk and fall around and all of that. We don't curse every time, you know, our mouth opens. We don't do all of these things because we're good Christians now. But, you know, there's still some things that are hidden in our hearts. Some of us don't like sister over here. So I'll sit over there. I'm not going to sit over there by her because she did something to me. And she needs to come to me and apologize, and then I'll sit by her. So, you know, the church is divided in these little foxes that spoil the vine. And the church is full of that. And that's what the Lord wants to get out of us. He said if we don't forgive, then we're not going to be forgiven. So, you know, I thank God that when we pray, we've got to allow the Spirit of God to pray through us in order to search our inner parts. Because a lot of times we don't know what's there. I was a Christian for a number of years. And I'll share this, and I'm not going to go too much further tonight. Remind me. If I start talking too much, just raise your hand, you know, like you're really agreeing with me. And then I'll take it as a sign that, okay, you're talking to me. Oh, who did that? Okay. But see, I was invited to, this was in the state of Washington, Yakima, Washington. They invited me to speak at a Skid Row mission. So I did my part, you know. I put on my three-piece suit and shined my shoes and, you know, really did my fro at the time. Well, I went, and I was going to speak to, you know, these terrible sinners that was down on Skid Row. Okay, I went down there, and I went into the church and waiting for them to, you know, let me share my testimony, whatever. And I was sitting in the back of the church there, and I was sitting there and waiting. And then I look around, and, you know, I see different ones. They didn't smell right. Their hair was messy and all this. And I knew why they were in the mission, so that as soon as the service was over with, they'd move into the back, and they'd have a free meal, you know, just for coming to church. And then all of a sudden, I looked over this way, and I saw Indian guy. And I thought, if I make eye contact with that native brother, that's a person that's sitting over there, then I know he's going to come over and talk to me. Sitting there just straight ahead, and then all of a sudden I turned this one, I looked, and right into his eyes I looked. And when I did, he looked at me and gave me this great big toothless smile, you know. And I thought, oh no. And sure enough, he stood up. He came over, and he sat right by me and said, how you doing, brother? Right in my face. And, you know, he's been drinking and all of that and never brushed his teeth for a while. And, you know, well, the smell of everything and his clothing and all. And I thought, Lord God, get this guy away from me. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, why did you come here? And then twice like that, why did you come here? I said, I came to preach to sinners so that they could hear the goodness of the Lord, and they could. And then it hit me. They eventually called me. I did what I had to do. I guess I preached, I don't know what I preached or whatever, and I couldn't preach the love of God because I knew I didn't have it in me. I was saved, yes, Lord saved me, and I was on my way to heaven, but I had no love for people that were down and out. And I went home and I repented, and for 3 days the Lord worked on me. And I repented again, and he would show me something else in here. And I thought I was a Christian, good Christian. But the Lord started to clean me out. I cry, I repent. And I said, Lord, I'm not even, I felt like the worst person. But I thank God that, you know, after that, the Lord changed me. And I had a different outlook at what people were about. I didn't realize that, you know, but for the grace of God, I could be in the same situation. Amen. And some of us, you know, knew a life of real sinning and all. Some probably never tasted alcohol or did any of those drugs or whatever. And maybe you feel justified in that, and you don't understand what it is for a person to be sitting next to you, you know, crying and telling you their troubles and, you know, all of this, and snotting on you and tears on you and all of this and that, and almost repulse you. But Jesus was right amongst them. Amen. And he loved them. Praise God. He didn't leave them in that condition. When he walked away from them, they were either completely well in their spirit, soul, and body, and shouting the victory, praise God, because wherever he went, he brought salvation, he brought healing, he brought deliverance, amen. And if there was demons in any of them, they were gone. And that's what we carry also, because we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, behold, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He says, but that power is delegated to Tim only because he's a pastor. Huh? No. He said, believers. Amen. That's talking to every one of us. And the devil knows that anybody that comes to the Lord 5 minutes after they're saved, he trembles in their presence because he knows that Christ is in them and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you have the same power. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And that's the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I thank the Lord that he brought us to that place, and he's bringing us to the place where we have power to cast out devils, to lay hands upon the sick, and they will recover. The Lord delivered me of demons. I didn't know what they were. I was newly saved and still doing some things after I came into the Lord and all. And see, I'll tell you this, there's real powers that the enemy comes against us with. There are demon spirits that plague us. And that's why Jesus, the word says this. He says, and he sent his word and healed all that were oppressed of the devil. So we are in a warfare, a spiritual warfare that many of us, a lot of people don't know that we are in a spiritual warfare. But we are in a spiritual warfare, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, high places. So the night that it happened, I was young, I was there, curious, watching everybody get prayer and all of that, and it was kind of getting wild, because in those days, you know, it was a wild situation. There was, as she was talking about, people were falling on the floor, and some of them were doing other things, you know, but dancing around all this. Then all of a sudden I was looking at this girl and she was up there in the front, and then all of a sudden she just started to, you know, manifest. Her hands started to just literally curl up like this, and she was backing up, and she was like, no, no. She was going, and I was looking at her like that, and I was thinking, what's going on? She was acting, I mean, you know, manifesting like a cat. And these ministers ran to her and put their hands on her and started to pray. And then out of her came a black thing, and it came right at me, and it hit me in the chest, and that was it. A voice down here, not up here, spoke and said, I'm getting out of here, right from here. And I looked at the door, and it's almost like I went into a drunkenness. You know, I looked at the door, and I had no control of myself. I ran for that door. And some lady said, he's got a running demon. And I ran, took off. And next thing I was carried back into the church, and they flopped me on the floor and, you know, started to cast things out. And it took a while, but thank God I got delivered. And things were coming out of me that I didn't know was there. Amen. So I know that these things are real. And I know that once we come to Christ and we're in Christ, our life is hidden Christ, we have power, amen, against those things, praise God. So I believe sometimes sickness is demon spirits. It's not just, you know, because those spirits work with and against the body, amen, to bring about unforgiveness. Will cause things to happen in your body. Amen. And a lady, she looked at her mother, and she hated her mother since she was, I don't know what her mother did, but a child, she looked at her mother and finally got away from her mother, and she said this, every time I look at my mother, she comes around, she says, my stomach goes into knots. She said, I just can't stand to be around her. She just turns my stomach to where I can't stand being around her. And she eventually got married, and they were trying to have a child, and she couldn't conceive. And finally, she started having stomach problems, and she went to the doctor, checked her out. They found out that her intestines were just knotted up, and she brought it upon herself through her own words. We got power of life and death within our tongue, and she would say it every time I see her, my stomach gets knotted up, and I just can't stand. So the Lord eventually delivered her and straightened out everything within her system, and she conceived. But you know, we have got to watch how we speak. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we speak on the negative all the time, then we're going to always be in the negative. But if we speak in the positive, praise the Lord, through saying, I can do all things through Christ, then we're going to see results, hallelujah, and we're going to see a change. The Lord healed us, praise God. He's healed my emotions. He's taken and worked me over, praise the Lord, and he's still working on me, praise God. So I thank the Lord that he's ever working with us, and he's conforming us into the image of the Son of God. And how many of you want to look like Tim? Well, how many of you want to look like Jesus? Praise the Lord, all of you. We all want to look like Jesus. Praise the Lord. I don't want to pattern myself after any preacher. As good as they are, as much as I love them, as much as I honor ministers in the country, such as Brother Tim here, Rabbi Kurt, and others that in the land, I don't want to look like them. I want to look like Jesus, praise God. I want to manifest like Jesus. I want the power to flow through me and cause me, praise the Lord, to minister to others so that others will come in and have a hope within themselves that if you're suffering, if you're sick, if you're going through anything in your mind, turmoil or whatever it is, knowing that God is able, hallelujah, to bring us up and bring us out of that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we could be well. We could be healed. Hallelujah. For he said it is finished, and the finished work is done. Praise God. The redemptive work on Calvary speaks about in Isaiah 53 is complete. Amen. Amen. We don't have to carry those sicknesses. We don't have to carry the burdens. We don't have to do these things anymore. If we give it to the Lord and allow him to work, then I guarantee you that you're going to walk in freedom. Whom the Son has made free is what?
Free.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So with that, let's stand. And if you have any needs tonight, if you want hands laid upon you, praise God. we're going to lay hands upon you, and we're going to see deliverance. We're going to see healing take place. Praise the Lord. And if the Lord gives the word, amen, to any of you, then we're going to be receptive to that, that we would deliver to you whatever God has. So if any of you has a need, amen, we just open this altar to you tonight. Praise the Lord. I'll give it to Brother Tim, and then he could make the altar.
Amen. Grateful receivers tonight. We are grateful receivers. So, Lord, tonight we just say thank you so much for your graciousness, your goodness. Holy Spirit, you truly are a gentleman. You don't push, you draw. You draw us to yourself. So tonight, Jesus, we just say all that's in your heart, Lord, for us as a people. We are your sons and daughters, God. Thank you that you are a good father, as we sang earlier. You are a good, good father. That's who you are. And because of your love for us, God, as a good father, you long to give good gifts. If I'm being bullied at school, I'm going to tell my dad about it. He's going to chase that bully off. Lord, tonight, anybody that's being bullied by the enemy, pray, God, that we would surrender all of our hearts to you. You know, the places that we're not proud of. For we come to you for cleansing. We come to you for healing. We come to you, Father, for freedom, as we've said. Lord, thank you tonight for the testimony of our friends, of our brother and sisters. Lord, how you've seen amazing things, God, as you've worked through these servants of yours. And so tonight we say, the same God who delivered, you know, Pastor Roy, the same God who spared Sister Shirlene, the same God who healed Honey of cancer. Thank you, Lord, that you are the same God yesterday, today, forever. Lord, that you're no respecter of persons, that there's nothing too difficult for you. You said, come to me. Lord, that's been the call all night tonight. Come to me. Lord, tonight that's what we do. We come to you simply as children. And thank you that you receive us as a good father. Let us pray tonight, freedom in this house. There is no condemnation. There is freedom. Lord, let nothing hinder us from coming to you. I know it's your heart, God. You delight to give good gifts to your children. I'm praying, Lord, that tonight many testimonies will begin right here. The story will begin tonight. And then as the story is told, many others will be delivered. Many others will be encouraged. More hope will be spread. This will be multiplied, Lord. I pray that tonight will be a new beginning for St. Joseph. Lord, a beginning of hope. We couldn't find a peg to put in the ground tonight. But Lord, in the Spirit, we place a peg. Lord, we make an altar for you, as we prayed earlier, God. A milestone. We will remember this night, God. That the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the God of mercy, the God of compassion, visited us, and we were never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.